Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Scott.
Let's talk first of all about your initiative, which had to do with an outgrowth of the Ebola problem that we had. You've gotten in place, and it'll go to the, I guess, the Senate is passed now. The Texas response to maybe Ebola, but any other type of pandemic that we might have in the future.
That's right. It's a public health response and preparedness for emergency infectious disease emergencies. The Ebola cases up in Dallas were a wake-up call that we needed to be more proactive in how we prepare to protect our communities and citizens against infectious disease threats. And the governor, Governor Perry, set up a task force, and a lot of those recommendations of the task force, as well as recommendations that we heard during the interim hearings in the HHS Health and Human Services Committee, were included in this bill. It allows for a chain of command to be established. It allows for stockpiling of personal protective equipment, disposal of medical waste. A lot of the problems that we saw manifest up in Dallas during the Ebola weeks.
Let me ask you, because as our listeners know, you are a physician. Part of this also has to do with, unfortunately, a lot of people had to learn on the fly as to how Ebola could be transmitted. And so what is your feeling as far as those first responders? Should they be, I don't know if forced is the right word, but should they necessarily be the first line of defense when we do have something that we're not used to seeing here? Or should people from outside who know better come in and treat these first victims?
We are now looking at and putting in place centers to treat highly infectious diseases when these occur, one at UTMB and one at Dallas. We need to effectively respond to potential biologic threats to protect the safety and health of the citizens. What we found out during the Ebola cases was that not just any hospital can take care of an Ebola patient, and there needs to be a coordinated response based upon the best science and the best resources available. And for me, I believe that response doesn't need to be led at the county level. It needs to be led at the state level. And so this bill that passed the Senate would allow the governor to declare a state of infectious disease emergency. We would put in place a chain of command and structure to effectively respond to infectious disease threats.
Well, and that also includes law enforcement. They may be called into service for this as well, right?
That's right. The commissioner of health here in the state can order do what they call a control order, which is basically telling an individual to stay in your house, that you have an infectious disease and you shouldn't leave. This would allow, the bill would allow for enforceable control orders if that individual is noncompliant.
Certainly. Charles Schwertner joining us from Austin. Also, yesterday, Child Protective Services Day at the state capitol, and unanimous approval on the Department of Family and Protective Services sunset bill that you had authored, that basically there are some operational changes that will go on there.
That's right. It's one of my highest priorities, and I think one of the highest priorities of the state, to make sure that when we take care of those children in foster care, that we're doing so with the best resources and the best trained individuals. And it's a whole broad reform, transformation of the Department of Family and Protective Services to make sure that we're hiring the right people, we're recruiting the right people, we're equipping them the right way, we're changing the culture and some of the bureaucracy and the paperwork that they're having to deal with to hopefully make it more effective and efficient and have those caseworkers spend more time with those children.
Let's turn our attention now to Governor Abbott's strike force came out with their findings having to do with the Health and Human Services Commission. Dr. Janik, a former senator, the head of that. What are your thoughts, first of all, on the findings and maybe even the wording of the report that came from Governor Abbott's task force?
Right. I think it was an important task force. I applaud Mr. Hamilton. Of course, he's connected to Texas A&M as one of the vice chancellors there. And I think they did a thorough job looking at the Health and Human Services enterprise and the problems that are currently manifest in that enterprise. We did so during the Sunset Commission period, during the interim. Of course, I was a member of that. And we're trying to reorganize the entire enterprise to make it more effective and efficient and properly structured to where those citizens that need the services of the state are properly being served, but also in a cost-effective manner. And there needs to be some changes. There's no doubt about it. But the changes that are contemplated by the Sunset Commission initial recommendations, and now they've been revised twice, it's still a work in progress. My ears are open, and we're trying to find a path forward that puts the right structure in place to effectively manage that very, very large enterprise, which is 54,000 employees and one-third of our state budget.
Specifically, the governor's strike force said that apparently Commissioner Janik only had a small group of people around him, and they basically were making the decisions on the operation of this agency, and there are massive reforms that are needed. This is our first chance, I guess, to see this new governor in a leadership role, and of course, you knew him as a member of the House as well, and when he was Attorney General, but what is your sense as to what his next step is when it comes to leadership of Health and Human Services?
Well, that's the governor's call regarding the leadership of the entire enterprise. I certainly know Commissioner Janik, and I think his heart's in the right place. But oftentimes when a new governor comes in and there are problems in the agency, they'd like to kind of start with a new slate, and that oftentimes incorporates a change of leadership.
Well, of course, you've got that, and as you mentioned in your Sunset Commission, you're saying you want to bring these entities together under one umbrella. Mm-hmm. So maybe is that the right time to do it? Have you been in touch either with the governor or any members of his staff after this report has come out?
Yes, I was part of before the report was released, a number of the chairmen of various committees met with the members of the report, Mr. Hamilton and Judge McCowan, as well as executive-level staff members of the governor's team. And we went over it pretty thoroughly and discussed it and gave input. And, I think they're still contemplating regarding leadership. But again, there needs to be changes, and the changes that are now being contemplated are allowing for certain agencies to be reorganized into the Health and Human Services enterprise, DADS, Department of Aging Disability Services, as well as Department of Assistive and Rehabilitative Services being merged, but that timeline being postponed 1 year to 2018, with maintaining as independent agencies the Department of Family and Protective Services, as well as the Department of State and State Health Services.
Specifically, as we talk about, one of these, I guess the first things that came to light with HHS was the 21CT contract. So people will understand mm-hmm. this was an organization, a tech organization in Austin, that was charged basically with finding fraud within the system. Well, we end up seeing that there was really not due diligence done on this contract, and the commissioner has canceled the extension on the contract. But this, the whole sticking point is, maybe 21CT isn't the answer, but if not, who steps into that breach? Who is going to be there to make sure that fraud is not taking place?
Well, we have a new Medicaid OIG Inspector General. His name is Stuart Bowen. He was the Inspector General in Iraq for 10 years under both President Bush and President Obama. And I've had many conversations with him thus far, and he has a vision for reforming the OIG, the Office of Inspector General inside the Health and Human Services enterprise. And I think he's on the right track. And so there's been a change of leadership there. But I hope that he's able to affect cultural change. And we do need a functioning OIG to make sure that our taxpayer dollars are protected and well spent. And I have faith in the new Medicaid OIG.
And, you know, as we talked, Charles Swertner joining us from Austin this morning, and as we've talked about before, this may be the largest single element within the state budget. For that reason, you have to think, gosh, the larger the budget, the more chance there is at wasteful
sure.
spending that
Absolutely.
Might take place there. Now, as you, being chairman of the committee, what do you feel like is your responsibility as you move forward in that regard?
We need to have proper oversight of all the agencies and make sure that we expect the agencies to do their job and for the citizens of Texas and protect the taxpayer dollars from fraud and abuse and misuse. And I've been very vocal about that in committee hearings and in private meetings throughout the Sunset process, but also as the session has gotten underway. I think our top priority from that point of view is making sure that we are properly overseeing our contracting process from the point that we procure the contract or put it out for to bid to negotiating the contract and finally to overseeing that contract. Once you sign a contract, you know, sometimes you put it in the drawer and you never look at it again. And are they actually doing what the contractual obligations mandate and provisions mandate that they do? These are basic steps to ensure that we are getting our money's worth. And so much of our dollars are spent through contractual relationships. 85% of the services in Medicaid now are done through third-party entities, managed care organizations in particular. That's $24 billion in HHSC alone.
Right.
That is done, and you know, we hire someone else to provide that service, and we need to make sure that when we hire that other person that they are diligent in fulfilling what we expect them to fulfill for the dollar amounts that we pay them.
And to that end, the Senate approved the bill on Tuesday that I guess will put everything under a database that's run by the Comptroller's Office, and anything that's over $1 million is going to have to go through different scrutinies now.
Right. Senate Bill 20, Senator Nelson authored it, but many, many people, including myself, had input to the actual bill. But it's the reform of contracting in the state of Texas. And I think it was a very needed, basic, needed steps and sometimes even basic steps of how we go about managing our business.
Certainly. Now, quickly, a couple of other things that happened. We had this news story today, so I'd like to get your comments on it, and that was Senator Whitmire's plan to decriminalize truancy in Texas. As one member of the body, what are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, I think we need to, you know, I don't really believe truancy should be a criminal offense. I think it probably should be in the civil arena. We need to be making sure that those students are in school, but I don't think you know, locking them up is the right thing to do. We heard that, I think, last session when I was on criminal justice. It's coming to the floor. I don't know the specifics of the bill, to be quite frank, but my overall kind of gut feeling is we need to be smart on truancy and crime rather than just hard.
It took 17 hours of chit-chat over in the House, but they got their budget passed. I know yours is pretty much a work in progress over there. We're about to try to bring these two things together. What's your outlook at this point on that, since you're on Senate Finance?
Well, we looked at the House budget. There's obviously differences, and we expect that budget to come over, and we'll swap out the Senate budget into the House budget, and then we'll pass the Senate budget, and then we'll go to a conference committee. I'm very hopeful. I think we'll find a way forward, and for the people of Texas, and you know, funding our priorities and obligations to you know, everything from schools and health care to retirees to health issues regarding retired teachers. We're going to do a good job, and I think in the end, I think the people of Texas will be pleased.
Now, your SB 8, we've talked about it before, but that's the one that exempts businesses that make less than $4 million in annual revenue from the franchise levy. Feel safe at that number right now? At the $4 million?
Well, the House doesn't have $4 million.
So I know.
It's going to be a point of discussion.
Yeah.
So you know, it's going to be some give and take, and a compromise is what we do down here in the Pink Dome, and you know, there's lots of good ideas, competing ideas, and competing priorities, and but my bottom line is I think tax relief is a high priority of the people of Texas and certainly of me regarding both property tax as well as the tax that our businesses pay.
And finally, I want to make sure people know that your Nursing Home Three Strikes bill passed out of Senate.
Sure did. You know, protecting those that are in our nursing homes, those seniors that are very vulnerable, is a high priority. Texas has ranked the 50th out of 50 states for the last 2 years regarding nursing home care. And part of that is the enforcement and regulation of nursing homes. And the Three Strikes bill tightens that enforcement to make sure that we are properly regulating nursing homes.
Finally, today you're busy in committee. I know you've got finance and state affairs at 9 o'clock, and then your health and human services in the afternoon. Anything happening in committee today that would be of interest to us?
Well, we got all sorts of committees going on. We continue to right now the bills that are coming through are kind of the lower or middle tier bills, not the highest priority bills. So, just off the top of my head, I can't tell you exactly
okay.
all the bills, but we. We're very busy.
I just didn't know if we had a home run pitch that was coming in today. We wanted to know.
No, I'd be breaking news with you. I told you that.
That's the whole idea. That's why we do this. Listen, thank you for the long visit today, but I did want to get your reaction since the task force came out on Health and Human Services.
You bet, Scott. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. All right, thanks. Dr. Charles Schwertner joining us from Austin.